Let's read together Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 19. In this first half of Proverbs chapter 6, we have wisdom's counsel concerning three areas of life that a wise person should avoid: the area of surety, the area of laziness, and the area of deception. Let's begin by reading the first five verses. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. For you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Let's begin our study of Proverbs chapter 6 with some background notes. Remember, the overall outline or mini outline of Proverbs is Precepts of Wisdom, chapters 1 through 9, and Proverbs of Wisdom, chapters 10 through 31. So here in chapter 6, we are still dealing with the precepts of wisdom. Do you remember the three precepts of wisdom? Number 1, revere God. Number 2, respect authority. And number 3, resist temptation. One more time. Number 1, revere God. Number 2, respect authority. And number 3, resist temptation. In reference to number 3, resist temptation, we tend to think of this precept as referring to sexual temptation. And certainly that is one big area, as we've seen already. But there are other areas of life where we are vulnerable, and we need to be warned lest we be taken in and ensnared before we realize our mistake. Here in the first half of Proverbs chapter 6, we have three of these danger areas. They are all potential danger areas for the believer: the danger area of surety, the danger area of laziness, and the danger area of deception. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first half of Proverbs chapter 6. So doctrinal point number 1, a wise believer avoids surety. A wise believer avoids surety. Verses 1 through 5, the verses that we just read. What is surety anyway? Not security, but surety. Surety is a formal pledge or guarantee that one makes to secure against financial loss, as when you co-sign for a loan. Be warned, this is a dangerous area that could lead to big problems in your life. See how practical Proverbs is? Suppose the borrower defaults and can't pay back the loan. You're left holding the bag, and most likely your friendship has ended. Not only that, you may have encouraged the borrower to buy something that he or she would be far better off without. But should you never co-sign for a loan? What about a son or a daughter, or a close relative, or a trusted fellow believer? Even here, in most cases, it would be better to just give your trusted friend a financial gift rather than getting into a potential problem area. Suppose that person loses his job or dies. Now, don't use Paul and Onesimus here as an example, as some Christians have tried to do. Paul told Philemon that he would pay off the past bad debts of Onesimus. Paul did not co-sign for any loan or give a pledge to Philemon that he would pay for any possible future debts of Onesimus. Now, remember, we are here in the book of Proverbs, receiving wise counsel. This is not one of the Ten Commandments: thou shalt not co-sign for a loan. No, but the way of wisdom would be to avoid signing on any dotted line that puts you at high financial risk. Now, we're not talking about small $20 loans where there is little risk involved. No. Now, notice the context of this warning here in the first five verses of the chapter. The wise counsel is what to do if you have foolishly become surety or collateral and co-signed for some person, and now you realize it was a mistake and you realize that you are at considerable financial risk. So what's the wise counsel? Do whatever it takes to get out of the binding contract, if at all possible, even if it means giving some upfront money to your borrowing friend. Get your name off the contract. Don't sleep on it. Verse 4. Get out of the potential trap like a fleeing animal or bird before you are ensnared. Verse 5. A wise believer avoids surety. Doctrine point number 2. A wise believer avoids laziness. A wise believer avoids laziness. Verses 6 through 11. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning now with verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. You know, I used to tell my students to read this passage of Scripture before they decided to sleep in and skip early morning classes. Some of them did not take my advice. And sure enough, at exam time, their poverty came in like an armed thief, robbing them of a good grade. Now, this selection of Scripture is given as a warning because most of us are vulnerable to this danger area of laziness. We're not to be workaholics, that's for sure. But for most of us, this is not a problem, being a workaholic. Most of us are relaxaholics, right? A little coffee break stretches into a siesta. We all need to go and observe the ant. Have you ever seen those ant farms that you can buy and observe the ants? Our grandchildren have had a couple of these. It is totally fascinating to observe ants at work. There are no lazy ants. They work together for the good of the colony, and they work with purpose. What an object lesson for all of us. A wise believer avoids laziness. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning now with verse 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. Be warned about being deceived by con artists. They are very clever with their words and gestures. They wear masks that can easily convince you that they have the best of intentions, but their heart is not right, and their evil agendas spread strife and division. God calls these deceivers and swindlers wicked and worthless. The word worthless or scoundrel in verse 12 is literally man of Belial in Hebrew. Later, this word came to be used for the devil. Be careful. We may think that we are immune to deception, but these con artists and swindlers are very shrewd. Now, we believe that there is a prophetic implication here of the false Messiah who will come in the last days. The Antichrist will deceive many. The good news is in verse 15. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. God has ways of suddenly breaking these wicked people for good. This is true now, and it will be true of God's dealing with the Antichrist of the end times. I'm reading Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. So we have the good news that wicked and worthless scoundrels will be cut down, but they can wreak havoc before their time. Be warned. Don't be taken in by these smooth-talking deceivers. A wise believer avoids deception. And now we come to practical application for this first half of Proverbs chapter 6. Practical application number one, keep in mind the balance of Scripture. Keep in mind the balance of Scripture. Now, we've seen in this first half of Proverbs chapter 6 that there are three potential danger areas for the believer, areas where we are vulnerable and areas we should avoid: the danger area of surety, the danger area of laziness, and the danger area of deception. In avoiding these danger areas, we could make the mistake of going too far in the other direction, and that would be unbiblical. We must keep in mind the balance of Scripture. For example, in avoiding the danger area of surety, we could go to the extreme of not being generous, and that would be wrong. The Bible encourages us to be generous and help those who are truly in need. So we must keep the balance of Scripture in mind and properly balance between generosity and good stewardship. In avoiding the danger area of laziness, we must keep the balance of Scripture in mind and remember that we do need rest. You can't burn the candle at both ends. God did give the Sabbath as a day of rest, but not all 7 days. So we must properly balance between work and rest. We are not to be lazy, but we must get the rest we need. And in avoiding the danger area of deception, we need to be careful that we do not go to the extreme of not trusting anyone. We are to trust our fellow believers, but we need to be aware that even Christians can be deceptive. So what's the answer? Keep in mind the balance of Scripture. And practical application number two, don't be a strife spreader. Don't be a strife spreader. Let's read verses 16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren, or stirs up dissension among brethren, or spreads strife among brothers. What's a strife spreader anyway? You could say that a strife spreader is just the opposite of a peacemaker. In his Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Here in Proverbs chapter 6, we see that God hates a strife spreader. The phrase, six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, is not an exhaustive list, but it does stress the final item as the culmination of the previous items. In other words, God not only hates pride and the other first six items mentioned, but he really hates the sowing of discord and dissension among brethren. I bet you never thought that in God's eyes, this sin was as bad as murder. Many examples could be given of strife spreading and stirring up dissension. Example: a bad attitude of always complaining and never being satisfied with your church services and programs, and not being willing to help out with a positive attitude, would certainly result in discord and dissension among brethren. The Lord is very displeased with this attitude. Don't be a strife spreader.